Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian.
Yes, I am, and I'm over here.
Yeah, you are over there. I'm over here. You people are listening. Fine people are listening to us.
Where is here and where is there?
Devil Radio 92.7 FM out of Madison, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios. You're holding down the fort in the studios for the Shaw. 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. And we're streaming across the Civic Media Network in Amory, Wisconsin, on Lake Eyre and Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Support. Radio from the Center in Richland Center, WRCE. And in Wisconsin Rapids on Locally Grown Radio. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent with Luke and Brian today, 844-967-2789. We'll be joined by Annalise Eicher at the bottom of the hour, 2:30. She will be joining us. She is a Dane County Board Supervisor, and she's going to be discussing with us the importance of local elections here in the state of Wisconsin, Brian, because guess what?
What?
2 weeks from tomorrow, nomination filings can begin for nomination papers for this spring's elections.
A couple things I said directly after the 2016 election is that no matter who is the president, whether it was Hillary or Donald Trump, in fact, this holds true for no matter who is the president anytime, they're not going to fix your roads, they're not going to keep your garbage taken care of, and they're not going to make sure that your basic civic needs are met. That's what your local government is for.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, while they get all mad about Trump winning, or they get upset that, you know, Hillary lost, or, you know, left or right, you still need to have things work.
Yeah.
And most people don't even know who is on their school board, who their mayor is. And I think that's more important than maybe who wins the presidency in many cases.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, where the rubber meets the road, we found out especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, it was local governments like county boards, mayors, and county executives that were taking the actions necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And so I'm really excited that we'll be joined at 2:30 by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor. But before we have that conversation with Annalise, let's talk about the GOP in disarray, Brian. Because
what, the GOP's in disarray? Tell me it's not true.
I would be lying
more
if I said
in disarray.
It wasn't.
How do you get like a bowl of spaghetti that's been pounded down, and then make that more in disarray?
Well, the
you pour it out of the
individuals.
Bowl?
One of the individuals that was at the forefront of claiming the 2020 election was rigged, stolen, any of the without evidence claims that they made, was the elections chair in the state assembly, Brian.
Yeah.
Janelle Branchon.
Yeah.
At the forefront of the really the effort to undermine the faith in the electoral process here in the state of Wisconsin.
No better person than Janelle Branchon to go and do that.
Timothy Rantham's up there, but
I think she actually did more substantive work. I think Timothy just went up and down and ranted and raved a lot.
Branchon was definitely at the forefront of it. She started it and made it a lot more mainstream for the Republican viewpoints here in the state of Wisconsin. So
I feel like she did more legwork than Timothy Rantham did. That's all.
Probably. But she now, Brian, is being barred from the GOP caucus.
What?
Here in the state of Wisconsin.
That's really weird because they used her as a shield pretty much to go and pave the way for them to go and be as dumb as they want to be. But now they're just turning on her and saying bye.
Well, it seems like they don't trust her after these last 2 years.
That's literally what they said.
That's the quote from one of the Republican representatives explaining why state Representative Janelle Branchon was barred from the closed caucus meeting held by Assembly Republicans at the end of last week.
Well, it just goes to show you, it's not just the R behind your name. You have to be part of their club to be part of their club.
Well, if you go against the club, the club will seek retribution, and this is apparently what's going on.
But she was going for the club the whole time until they decided, we lost with that, so now we will shun you.
Well,
but you guys did it too. Yeah, but you did it more, so we're going to show you how reasonable we are by finally kicking you out of our caucus, even though you should have done that 2 years ago, you weak, spineless dumbass.
They fan the flames of her hearsay and conjecture. To the point where they thought it would be beneficial. They thought getting the base excited about quote-unquote election integrity would help them win elections. And Robin Voss did not get his supermajority that he sought this past election. In the assembly, the state senate, that was gerrymandered to the point where they successfully got 2/3 majority in the state senate. Robin Voss did not get that 2/3 majority in the state assembly. And so now it seems like there's going to be some finger-pointing, some blame game being played in the state assembly caucus for Republicans, and Janelle Branchon seems to be the scapegoat when it comes to Republicans trying to moderate, clean up their act. What do you think,
Ryan? No, please make no mistake, everybody. I have to fill you in on a little bit more information here on Janelle Branchon here to give you a little bit more perspective as to why maybe she, amongst all the election-denying crazy people in the GOP, she was the one singled out. And it might come down to one specific issue that has to do with a certain cocktail weenie that was reelected. Speaker Robin Voss, I don't know if you know this, was opposed by Adam Steen and also backed by Donald Trump, by the way. Adam Steen was. Donald Trump made fun of and basically called for Voss's resignation and or people to take over the party and get rid of Robin Voss. Adam Steen ran a write-in campaign, and guess who was...
After losing in the primary. Losing in the primary by, 350 votes, roughly?
That was close, but again, it's,
After Voss spent $1 million, I believe more than $1 million, on his primary race, which he really hasn't ever had to do. It was the closest primary of Voss's political career, and he barely eked out a victory because his opponent was endorsed by former President Donald Trump. And Steen then decided, after losing that primary, to continue the political attacks against Robin Voss by surmounting a writing campaign that ultimately fell very, very, very short.
Isn't it funny how the most powerful guy in the state reasonably is basically elected in by a couple thousand people and barely eked past his primary challenger by 350 votes, but yet he's the most powerful person in the entire state, essentially.
Again, very important why local elections matter, and we're going to talk to Annalise Eichner about that at the bottom of the hour.
And he can do things like be really petty and take it out on Janelle Branchon, not because she's a crazy person election denier, but because she backed Adam Steen in the write-in campaign.
So
she was strategizing. Also, if, I don't know if you remember, there were recordings of Adam Steen talking to several other Republican crazy people, one of them being Janelle Branchon. And Janelle Branchon was strategizing with Steen how to overcome Robin Voss. And sounds like Robin Voss was upset. But again, in her statement yesterday, Branchon defended her work, and this is quoting from WisPolitics, defended her work as chair of the Campaigns and Elections Committee, along with her support of Steen. Branchon said in her statement, if Voss wanted her support, he could have earned it like any other candidate. Which is really funny because again, I supported Robin Voss's opponent because I didn't feel Robin Voss can unify this party. Last Thursday, Robin Voss had an opportunity to prove me wrong, but instead, he proved me right. Way to go. Here's the thing. While I agree with the decision that Janelle Branchon shouldn't be allowed near any sort of leadership whatsoever.
Yes. Including the chair of the elections committee in the state assembly.
Yeah. I agree with the move, but again, let's not pretend like this was because of any sort of good thoughts on his mind. It's petty and because he was opposed by her.
Yes. Absolutely.
There's no other person around, because there's several other people who did the same thing. There's several other people who wanted to, who spoke out and said that Robin Voss should be removed.
The state lawmaker up in the Green Bay area that said, I haven't met Robin Voss yet, but if I do meet him, I want to punch him in the face. There was a Republican lawmaker that was like upset with Voss for not doing more as well to undermine the election.
Robin Voss said you can't decertify the election that was already certified. Crazy idea, I know, but you know, democracy somehow still. I mean, democracy, gerrymandered democracy at that, but democracy is what kept him in power the whole time, or at least seeming so. Yes. So he will defend it as long as it keeps him in power.
So that's Janelle Brenchen kicked out of the closed caucus meeting for the Assembly Republicans last Friday, and doesn't seem like she's going to be the elections chair for this upcoming session.
Well, at least she got it better than Mo Green did when he was getting Godfather was solidifying power.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You can be like Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, it couldn't be anything like the fact that she accepted may have conspired with that elections official that sent her the phonied up absentee ballot application.
Yeah, I believe that's still being investigated as to how those absentee ballots were sent to her and why.
Yeah, because I just have to imagine that she may have actually been more knowledgeable about that was going to happen than the media has thus far reported. I could be wrong, but I just have to think that maybe because of her election denier status, that it wouldn't surprise me at all if she conspired with that elections official to do this kind of thing.
Well, her friend
Harry Waite.
I was going to say her friend over at the Thomas More Society is also the individual suing to stop those absentee ballots for military absentee ballots be counted before last week's election.
We support the military, just not their ballots.
There's some malfeasance in the absentee ballot process that we need to look into. Six days before an election. Yeah, again, still.
Where is it?
Still
I don't know, but I think it's there.
Exactly. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to continue the conversation. We're also keeping an eye on a vote in Washington, D.C., led by Wisconsin's Senator Tammy Baldwin for the Respect for Marriage Act. So we're going to keep an eye on that vote that's scheduled to begin right about now, Brian, in D.C. And at the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Annalise Eicher of the Dane County Board of Supervisors. So stay tuned. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
She went down to Arizona to visit the Ninja Turtles and came back really excited about what they're doing there.
What, Seahorse Seashell Party? Who didn't invite me?
Okay, put your phones on, man.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. You're listening to Cross Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're doing as a network, go to civicmedia.us to learn more. You can also download the app, Civic Media app, wherever fine apps are downloaded. And you can take us with you wherever you go, on the go. 844-967-2789 is the number to call if you want to share your tangent. Because, Brian, it's a pretty interesting GOP in disarray. We're getting a lot of these headlines, and I feel like sometimes they do get overlooked. There's a lot of downplaying sometimes of the disarray within the Republican Party, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. And I don't know. I'm slowly enjoying it.
Yeah. Have you? Okay. So what I'm also enjoying now is seeing if you wanted to personify the GOP, they were kind of like a boor just a complete social, like just pulling a china shop type of person, and to try and watch that type of personality, which is what the GOP has embodied for the last 10-15 years, with the arrogance and the no matter what we do, we can't be wrong.
We just gotta own the libs,
and no matter what, we're not gonna have anything wrong. Well, like, they doubled down and went super. They will go end around on an end around on an end around just to prove that they weren't wrong in one case. That doesn't even matter if they just said, "Oh, that my bad," and then changed it. We would have had a 2-second situation. But my point is that now they have lost what should have been a red wave. They have completely, totally, and for all objective ways, failed from what their goals were and what they expected to do. They have come short of their goals. And they have no choice now but to try and do things like kind of pretend like we're going to shuffle it up by saying we're going to distance ourselves from Trump, and we're going to do things like make Michelle Branchin like an outlier, and we're going to show you that we can compromise. And it's really funny to see their version of what compromise is.
Yeah, because I don't think how they view that word, Brian, isn't how the most of us would view the word compromise. They think that they could just say, oh, yeah, this is us trying to moderate our position, and you're going to do what we say, and that's the compromise.
If you're familiar with King Solomon and the judgment of the, like, who has custody of the baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
King Solomon just said split the baby in half, and then they decided, oh, maybe we shouldn't kill the kid. Maybe we should decide better and maybe not, you know, bring this to King Solomon, that type of thing. The GOP just starts with cutting the baby in half, and the Democrats are like, no. And they're like, well, I guess we win then, because they're willing to cut that kid in half. They don't care.
Well, it's what it seems like when it comes to these policies, because Robin Voss is now saying, and this is a article over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that he's willing to require a police report to prove rape or incest for obtaining an abortion here in the state of Wisconsin, Brian.
Now, and I understand the fear is that I don't want someone just to say, hey, rape or incest, abortion anytime. I get that. But the police report thing,
it's like, oh, yeah, we'll provide exceptions, but you got to go file a police report, completely ignoring the fact that during the last Republican attorney general reign, during Brad Schimmel's time from 2014 to 2018, serving as the state's attorney general, the state had roughly 6,000 backlog cases for rape kits. How is that providing an exception for instance? Do you wait 4 years?
Do you need a conviction? How does that work?
How does it? So it is just entirely bad faith for the assembly speaker to be like, oh yeah, I'm moderating my position. I understand the Wisconsin voters by roughly 90,000 votes chose the Democratic candidate for governor over the Republican candidate for governor. But the only way that I'm going to see some moderation is by this obscene thing that's not actually, it's not a good faith argument about how to moderate that position. It's not. It's just adding an extra hurdle to victims of a crime to be able to go receive health care. When you boil it down, that's what it becomes. It becomes saying that, well, yes, you can receive the health care that you're requesting if you go and file a police report.
This is why when I talk about abortion and abortion rights, I talk about enforcement. I don't talk about the moral issue of the whole thing, because you get bogged down in things like that. And it doesn't go anywhere as far as moving the conversation forward. I will have moral conversations all day long. But my point is, to move the conversation forward, you got to talk about enforcement. Because when you talk about enforcement, you have to think about things like, okay, how are we going to determine whether they were whether this child was a product of rape or incest? Maybe that's not the best way to do it. Maybe that's not the best way to go about doing it. Maybe we should just let the person and their doctor and perhaps anybody else they want to bring into their circle decide what is best for the outcome. And generally, you'll probably have better outcomes overall.
And I think it is also important to point out that most rapes do not get reported to the police.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's also a very important thing.
So,
also, the investigation into a rape is very invasive.
Yep.
You also relive the trauma, and pretty much anybody who goes into that also goes into an adverse scenario where a lot of people just don't believe them.
Yeah. And a lot of those cases, sexual assault is more pervasive with people you know as well. So all of a sudden, if it becomes he said, she said, and you're filling it out at the local police department, it gets way, way messier than just being able to leave this decision up to the individual. Brian.
Yeah.
But Robin Voss doesn't want easy or the practical stance. He wants to seem like he's moderating his position without actually moderating his position.
What is he going to? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
How are you going to work this out? And the
it's a terrible,
if you wanted to be serious terrible. About this, say, okay, all right, sure. I'll prove this, but I'll also go and give you more support to go and report things. I'll give you more support to make it easier to report, and I'll make it easier for people to make these reports happen. But
folks,
again,
you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to be joined by Annalise Eicher of the Dane County Board coming up. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Wait, how the hell did I get here?
The days just, they pass by. And you may find yourself right here, Brian. But I forgot to tell Evan to cue up the Yacht Rock, Annalise.
Oops. Oh, listen, I like this song. You know Yacht Rock's my favorite, though.
Yes.
Next time.
Evan, take notes. Next time, we'll have Annalise come in with some Yacht Rock. But we are now joined by Dane County Supervisor Annalise Eicher here in the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. How are you doing this afternoon, Annalise?
I am doing great. How are you?
Doing all right with this now midterm election hangover kind of beyond us. We're moving into the Republicans in disarray, which is pretty fun to watch, actually. Like, I'm not liking it.
I will say I've enjoyed the various leadership shenanigans on the Republican side that I've been following. You know, it's watching them in disarray and having no clear plan and, you know, different factions. And it's scary, but I don't hate it.
Well, the fact that Senator Ron Johnson got reelected last week was probably the biggest low of the week here in the state of Wisconsin, but that he's going to be in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
For the U.S. Senate.
Which is great.
And that you can take comfort in.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's also comforting to know that he's feuding with his own majority leader because he backed Senator Rick Scott of Florida for minority leader, in the U.S. Senate just this week. So
yes, he did.
He's in the minority there as well.
Yep.
And those factions are fighting, and I encourage it. It's a lot of fun to watch. But we are joined by you this afternoon because here in Wisconsin, now that the midterms are behind us.
Yep, they are.
And the midterm hangovers are subsiding, we've got some local elections to focus on here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, we do.
And so the beginning of the circulation period is 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
All right.
It's happening.
It's already here.
It's happening. We've got elections in April. Some pretty big ones statewide. We've got a Supreme Court race that's up that, you know, folks have already declared for. And that's going to be, I think, taking up a lot of attention. But I think it's also really important for folks to know that we also have mayoral races. We've got city council races, village board races, and school board races all across Wisconsin. And these are incredibly important. And yeah, the people can take out papers to start circulating for signatures on December 1st,
which is so soon.
It is so soon. It might look like December outside a little bit today. But you know, it is so soon. And I cannot stress the importance of local elections enough. I mean, it is so incredibly important who we elect to our school boards, who we elect to our city councils, and who we elect as our mayors.
And our Dane County boards or county boards?
Our county boards are not up this year.
That's not this spring.
Nope. It's spring of 2024 will be the next time the county board supervisors are up.
See, I was thinking this was already. I'm counting too many local elections.
You are. It's all right. It's all right. But
we're already learning stuff.
It's amazing what we learn on a Wednesday, right?
Yeah. Well, the important thing is that your local elections, if you want to actually get out there and make a difference, if you want to make a tangible difference that you can see within, you know, within the year, you should go out and run for your local election. If you think that you're not qualified enough, I guarantee you there is a moron in a suit down the road that thinks that they are more qualified and clearly aren't. So if you have any idea that and you care about actual local government or actually care about the outcomes of your children, of your neighbors, of everybody around you, you can actually have a say and do something tangible this year.
Yes. And not just, you know, it's not just caring about local government. It's caring about your neighbors, caring about whether we have safe streets and safe communities and people are provided for, you know, whether our elections can run. You know, we have mayoral elections, and those mayors across the state of Wisconsin are the ones that are hiring the clerks who run our elections. Most of these are not elected positions, and we've seen just how important the having quality people hired as our clerks across Wisconsin, across the country. So these mayoral elections are so important. I think we're really lucky here in Dane County with, you know, the mayors that we have who hire competent election officials. But, you know, that's not the case other places.
And it's not just the elections that we see the importance of local government. Over the last 2 years, our local communities have been dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Absolutely.
And the local health officials that come along with the executive offices, with the mayors and all of these local school boards making decisions of how schools were handling the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yep.
All of those offices are instrumental in the day-to-day life. And Brian was pointing out at the beginning of the show how at the top, the president, yes, is important, but the day-to-day interactions that we're seeing are just as important. And so what kind of, some people don't necessarily know the barriers for getting involved or say running themselves for local offices.
Yeah.
And in some places it's not that much. Like 200 signatures can sometimes get you on the ballot and qualify you for some of these local races.
And in some places it only takes 20 signatures to get on the ballot to be, to run for city council or village board.
20 signatures.
20 signatures in some places. Wow. So, you know, running for office, I think, you know, folks intentionally make it, you know, seem like there are a lot of barriers. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly barriers for, you know, that society has chosen, you know, to push on various groups of people to keep our elected.
Make it seem scarier than it is.
Yeah, make it seem scarier than, make it not accessible, you know, help keep our, you know, elected so that they're not actually reflective of who is in our communities. But actually running for office is easy. There is a ton of information on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. There are organizations that train and help progressive candidates run for local office, including like Emerge Wisconsin, Wisconsin Progress. There's a national organization called Run for Something that's involved in Wisconsin. You know, these folks are ready and able and willing to help you run for local elected office. And they're willing to help you, you know, navigate those barriers. And I think it really isn't as scary as it seems.
Yeah.
You know, there's some paperwork you got to fill out, some boxes you got to check, some signatures deadlines,
deadlines that you got to hit.
Deadlines you got to meet. But it's absolutely doable. And I think one of the best things about running for local office is that it's just talking to your neighbors about the stuff that matters to you and your community. And being able to, you know, to share that and share those ideas. So, you know, yeah, we talk about barriers, but let's also talk about, you know, how those are, how it's actually accessible.
Yeah.
We can actually meet those barriers and exceed those barriers and get people to run.
Yeah. And so help. How do we do that?
You can find out who's running. Or what seats are open by contacting your clerk, your municipal clerk. I think there's also a list on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website about various things that are up. I know we have a bunch of mayoral races in Dane County that folks are already announcing for.
I'll just say I saw a headline and got the news release for one of the mayoral candidacies that was here in Madison last Wednesday, I think. It was literally the day after the midterms. It was kind of like one of those... Oh, okay. So, all right, we're already back into the swing of it.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And I know one of the incredible staff in the Dane County Clerk's office was just sending notes to the newspapers about the upcoming spring elections. And, you know, it just because we got over the fall midterm here does not mean that we're done.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, looking up, like, who is on your school board? Who is on your city council? Is the seat up? Is it open? You know, this can easily be found on looking it up on the website. Most of them have term limits listed. And, you know, so looking it up online, you know, giving folks a call, it, you know, picking up the phone, dialing it is, you know, not something that'll...
Usually a very, like, you think that it's so much that you're like, oh, I don't want to make this phone
call. Yeah, but it's such an easy phone
call.
And
then it's a great conversation with your local clerk or whoever the official is that you're discussing it with. And one of the other places where you can have these excellent conversations is, I was a canvasser myself. I've knocked many, many a doors. And so when you're talking about outside of the finding out the official means, like you said, you're talking with your neighbors, your community. I like canvassers when they come to my door. And recently when we were in the heat of this past election, I was not home when our house was canvassed a bunch. But my fiance was, and I would continually tell her, I was like, you got to ask if they need water. You got to ask if they need snacks. You got to ask if anything, because that's what at the base is our community members coming around and they're doing the hard thing of trying to improve the community.
Yes.
And they're going door to door, and it's those, in local elections, very few of those conversations. 20, I still can't get over the fact 20 signatures in some areas to get on the ballot.
Uh-huh.
And so that's pretty impressive that we've got here. So what are some of the local races here in Dane County or around the state that you have your eyes on, that you're paying attention to the closest with the primaries coming up in February and the general in April?
Yeah. So, you know, my eyes are certainly on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Okay.
You know, our court we have the opportunity to flip the court to a court that is fair, that is not bought by Republican interests, you know, which means that we have an opportunity to perhaps undo gerrymandering, which has impacted our state in negative ways. It means that we might have the ability to protect voting rights, protect access, you know, to abortion, things like that. So I've got my eyes on the Supreme Court. I think that's incredibly important. But I also think, you know, I've got my eyes on some mayoral races here in Dane County, but also mayoral races in Racine and Green Bay. Those are two places where, you know, Republicans have been targeting votes and trying to interfere, you know. But I think the other ones that we have to be, you know, we have to really be paying attention to are school boards.
Yeah.
You know, we know that the Republicans are dead set on defunding public education. And we are so lucky to have the education governor there to play defense for us. But our school boards are going to be that, you know, one of those stopgap measures for protecting free speech in schools, making sure that our teachers are taken care of, making sure that, you know, we're not banning books, that we're not falling prey to, you know, ideologues, and, you know, we're actually able to maintain public education. So I've got my eyes on school boards, and there are a ton of school board seats open. I know the city of school district of Madison is going to have them. You know, Sun Prairie, Middleton area, Cross Plains, like there are school board seats up all over Dane County, all over the state of Wisconsin. And those races and who is in those seats matters. So if you don't know who's on your school board,
you gotta look, because I don't know. I don't know who's on my school board yet. So I gotta look. Brian, do you know who's on your school board?
I know a couple of them. I see them.
Look at that. Brian's already doing the homework. He's better off than I am on this.
One of my kids' parents actually ran for school board during COVID, during the whole thing. And it was really funny because he was just trying to do some common sense. I'm just a parent kind of guy. And he was getting it from both sides. He was getting it from the right and the left, which was really interesting. But I think, would you say school board is like a really good like entry-level position to go and try and figure out how to work in local government in?
You know, there's, you know, folks used to say that, you know, oh, start on school board and work your way up. I honestly, you can start on any of those. I mean, city councils, you know, it really depends on where your issues are. You know, school board, city council, county board, any of them you're interested, find a way to make it happen.
I'm serious, folks. Look at your local people and look at your local elections and look at the people who are your representatives. I guarantee you, you can do just as well as they as a lot of them do. There's some fantastic folks in our government, but there's also some folks that are just regular people like you and I who care enough to go and serve their time.
Yes, and we are so glad to be joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Annalise Eichard on the county board here in Dane County, talking local elections.
Yes.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to continue the conversation and maybe get to some of your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. Follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can also follow Civic Media at Civic Media US. We got one more segment left in the day. We're going to be right back.
Ahoy, folks. Let's set sail on the USS Stevie Winwood.
The little yacht rock to go out to.
I love this song. Friends,
it's time for the cool lightning, the sweet night thunder. It's time, my friends, to set sail. Don't leave me, baby. Baby, come back.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And Brian, folks, if you're not watching on the Devil Radio 92.7 FM Facebook live stream, you absolutely should be, because Brian's just getting me to almost keel over laughing from his little interpretive dance he's doing with the Yacht Rock.
Well, you know, when you got player going on, I mean, it's time.
He's not wrong, Luke.
You know.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I was not expecting it, and it just fit very perfectly with the intro, and Brian did a great job. I just find it funny.
Luke, come back. You can blame it all on me.
I usually blame it all on you.
And I just can't live without you.
If anybody asks, it was Brian's fault. I do say that all the time.
Probably. Really, really good chance it was.
Yeah. But we are joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Annalise Eichard, a county board supervisor, talking local elections, because filing papers begin in 2 weeks from tomorrow. And we're talking about the importance of local elections. And so we're also seeing some of these headlines of a lot of referendum have been passed this past week,
mm-hmm.
for investing in local items like keeping up schools, as yep. we discussed school boards, but also just operating costs for local governments. And so a big reason to get involved as well is because, as we've talked about, the importance of these issues is being able to make those decisions and have the things we need for local government to succeed here in the state of Wisconsin. So as somebody that it's budget season for the county board right now, can you tell us a little bit more about that process and the importance of people getting involved with how these local budgets are spent and determined?
Yeah. So, you know, it really does matter who is who's elected and who is making the decisions on budgets. I mean, our budget at the county, you know, they say there's a saying, it's like covers everything from the airport to the zoo, but you know, A to Z, airport, zoo, got it. Okay. So, but like, if you look at everything that's in, you know, in between that, there's, you know, this budget put forth like a ton of resources for criminal justice reform and jail diversion and investing in our communities and our employees. And, you know, budgets are documents that, you know, show your priorities and your values. And those are every single community in the state, every single school board in the state has a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you care about, you know, whether or not your street is cleaned or your trash gets picked up or you have recycling or if your fire and EMS can respond to an emergency on time.
Which is a huge thing for a lot of communities right now.
It is. You know, it matters who's in the seat making the decision. And I think for a lot of folks and for a long time, you know, folks have said, oh, you know, does it matter? You know, the big races, those are the ones that are important. But you know where the people who are in those large, you know, those bigger races, you know where they start? They start in local government.
Yeah.
And the issues that are talked about at the local government level are our day-to-day issues and the things that, you know, keep our lives functioning from, you know, literally from day to day. You know, like I said, from the roads we drive on to, you know, whether or not you have, there are services available, you know, if you need help. Local government funds those.
Yeah.
The quality of your kid's school.
And it, that's one of the ones we've been talking about. But one of something else that's a big issue that a lot of people get fired up about, police brutality. And being able to address the fact that we need to improve the way our public institutions react to, say, a 911 call.
Yeah.
Here in the city of Madison, we've had the CARES program be implemented for, it was a pilot for roughly just over a year now.
Yes.
And then now it's starting to be expanded around the city.
Yep.
And the CARES stands for Community Alternative Response. Now I'm going to blank on it because I didn't prep this part, but it's Community Alternative Response something.
And I am also blanking on it and I feel terrible because I have been a huge supporter of the program.
Yes.
But
it's an alternative for individuals that are experiencing a mental health crisis or need emergency services, but doesn't necessarily require a police officer to respond.
So, you know, and that's determined by who, you know, your city budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dane County runs the 911 center. So if you call 911, that's a Dane County employee answering that phone. And we are working to, you know, working with the city and working with, you know, whoever that, you know, whatever community in Dane County. And so if you call 911 and you don't need an ambulance and you don't need a fire truck and you don't need a police officer, but you need someone else, we want to make sure that you're getting the right kind of person and the right kind of help, because not every 911 call, you know, is a call that requires fire and police or EMS.
I believe it's emergency services. I think that's what the ES stands for. I've been racking my brain. Community Alternative Response for Emergency Services.
It's not like we're sitting in front of computers.
No, but I can't do that. I can't multitask too much. but sometimes you need in those crises, you need a mental health professional rather than a fireman or a policeman to come and assist you.
Yeah. And in talking with, you know, a number of, you know, folks in the law enforcement community, you know, they know, they're like, we don't want to be the ones responding to those calls. That is not what we're trained to do. We are trained to do different work. So we want to make sure, and they're supportive. They want to make sure that the right person is responding to the right type of call. And that's incredibly important. And I think it's, you know, the Madison CARES is, you know, following a great model from, there's one in Denver, Colorado, but then there's also one out in Oregon. But you know, that move by the city of Madison, and then of course Dane County in working with a co-responder model to serve the rural areas of our county with our sheriff's office. You know, other communities in Dane County have also moved to hiring mental health professionals and social workers who are available to respond to calls.
And those decisions are made because of the local officials that we put in place to make those decisions.
Exactly.
So that is why the local elections that, believe it or not, folks, the beginning of the nomination paper filing, 2 weeks from tomorrow.
December 1st.
That's easy to remember.
December 1st.
Yes, it's coming up very quick. You got to shake off the midterm hangover because these local elections matter. They are important in who we send to our school boards, our county boards, our mayoral offices, all of them across the board. Very important, especially the Supreme Court one. And we're going to talk about that one a lot between now and February and April. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Annalise. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Go to civicmedia.us, click on Dueling Tangents. You can find the podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll talk to you then. Matt Flynn, coming up next.
Seahorses forever.